Praise God. Please turn with me here tonight to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We do welcome you tonight, and even those watching in from the outside, we very much want you to feel a part of things. I wish you were all here, that we could be fellowshipping together from whatever nations you may be in, but we really do pray that all those that listen, that are desiring the word of God, that God will really meet with them in a life-changing way. Go on to Romans chapter 12. This is part 2 of our volume 2 of the battle for the mind. I had to think for a minute. I had a battle in my mind. But this is part 2, and I've got an unusual title here tonight. As we go to Romans chapter 12, there's some verses we in this church need to preach annually, each year. We need to come back. We need to emphasize. Don't think I'm senile if you think I preached on this text. I will preach on it time and time again. There's certain subjects we must repeat time after time. But reading from Romans chapter 12, my message, hijacking the 21st century mind. Let me repeat that. Hijacking the 21st century mind. Reading from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, or I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, O God, as we deal with this series, the battle for the mind. Lord God, I pray for the power of your word to impact us. Lord God, we are in an unusual hour in world history. Lord God, our world is radically changing. There is a culture being cultivated in the media, in politics, in society, in education, in the workplace, in law. My God, there is a new culture being brought forth and imposed on this generation. But we ask you here tonight, will you conform us to the very image of the Son of God? Will you transform us through the renewing of our mind, that we might become like Jesus? What this world is doing with the secular population, will you do in your church in conforming us to the Lord Jesus Christ? We pray for your blessing upon your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My message again, let me give you the title, Hijacking the 21st Century Mind. I'm preaching this because I want you to know what they're doing in this generation. I want to expose for a minute what the politicians, the rich men of the world, the scientists, so-called, the experts on social society. I want to show you what they're doing specifically in this hour. I mean in the 21st century. I want to tell you and expose what they have planned for the 2020s, what they are doing. How do I know? They've said it. They've actually revealed in their books, in their commentaries, in their interviews, in their media outputs, they have stated very clearly what they're going to do to this generation. You see, I believe they have a grand plan to hijack the mind of the 21st century generation. You see, they know the importance of the mind. They know that if you get the mind of a generation, you have that generation. If you can reach the mind of the young people, you have that entire young generation. That if you can educate that mind, change the ideology, get your concepts inside that mind, you have an entire generation. Never have we seen in world history any institution make a grab for the mind of an entire generation. Never have they had the media, the power, the widespread influence, the technology to do it. But I promise you, they now have it for the first time in world history. Hitler would have done anything to have what these men had. Mussolini would have cut off his right arm in order to gain what they have. You know why? They have the ability in one decade, in one short period of time, to transform an entire generation. If you doubt in any way that they believe this, that they think this, I can prove to you from their own writings, they not only think they can do this, they are embarking on grasping, hijacking, on stealing, on taking for themselves the mind, the thinking, the ideology of an entire generation. We've read here in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In this simple verse, and it ought to be written on your mind, you ought to know the scripture. You ought to think on it at least once a month. Meditate on this scripture. You have two options in this scripture. I believe this is a scripture for the hour. I believe it's a scripture for the decade. I believe it's a scripture for this generation. And yet we rarely hear it preached on, expounded, or explained to the church. Only two options in this verse. Either be conformed to this world, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you realize you're going to radically, every one of you, every person in this generation, in this decade, is going to be faced with two simple options. All you young people, you are going to have it forced upon you, whether you like it or not. You are either going to be conformed to this world, or you're going to be transformed to be like Jesus. There's going to be no third way, no middle way of compromise. It's going to be one or the other. You know, this world, they are so desperate, they're not going to give you a choice. It's either going to be Christ or the devil. You know what? God himself will do the same thing. God won't allow you to stand in the middle. You'll either go the way of this world, or you'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no in between. Here in this scripture, the great apostle shows us that in this hour, it's true of every generation, but specifically in this hour, either conformity to the world, or be transformed through that mind. This world knows that they've got to grab your mind. But Christ also has taught in the Word of God that your mind is the secret, the key to having a changed life. Depending on the condition of your mind, your thought life, what goes on in this brain of yours will dictate whether you're conformed to this world or transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's your mind, the condition of your mind. We underestimate the importance of the mind. We treat it casually. We think we'll get there in the end, no matter the condition of the mind. I want to tell you, the hour is too late. The time is spent. The night is descending. They are radically after your mind. They're coming for your children, your grandchildren. They're coming for your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Sisters, isn't it true all around us? Have we ever lived through a year like this where the entire world is brought to an option of conformity or being transformed? It's going to be forced on you. I'm not giving you an option tonight. Neither does this world, neither does God. You will choose this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It says in Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he, that is a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. This world knows that as a man, a woman, a child thinks, so is he. They want to hijack and steal that mind, particularly the young people, the teenagers. They want to grasp an entire generation. And that's why they're redesigning the education. That's why the UN from decades ago said we must have that young generation. Let me just remind you of what we dealt with last week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, but I fear, the apostle speaking, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you get conformed to this world, your mind's been ruined. If you're being conformed to this world, thinking like it, acting like it, being taught by it, I promise you, you've been ruined. Your brain has actually withered. The word corrupted there means to shrivel, wither, waste away, to spoil, to ruin, defile, destroy. Do you realize the serpent that came to Eve in the garden is coming to the church of this decade wanting to corrupt that mind? How does he want to do it? By conforming you to this world. It is an attack on the mind. What the serpent done on Eve in the garden, he is doing to the church of this generation. The serpent that came to Eve is coming to the church. I mean the real body of Christ in this hour. And he is going to speak the same. He is coming with the same agenda. And it is for the hijacking of that mind. When we read in Genesis chapter 3, listen to what it says concerning Eve. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open. This was the last lie of Satan. Remember what he started with? Did God say? But he leads her all the way through until he's saying, God doesn't want your eyes to be open. The God, the Creator, the God of the Bible wants you to remain blind. Eyes closed, not knowing what's going on. But listen to what the serpent says to Eve. He's saying it in this hour. Your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant in the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and she did eat, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. I assure you, there is an attack of Satan. How is he going to approach you to steal your mind, the mind of this generation? He's going to use those eyes like he always has done. In Genesis 39, we read that Joseph's master's wife cast her eye upon him. Do you see that sin follows on the heels of looking? Achan in Joshua chapter 7, 21, it says that he saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Or in Judges chapter 14 and verse 1, it says Samson went down to Timnath and he saw a woman. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says, and David he saw. Since you realize that the eye gate is direct communication to your mind. That's why the five senses of the physical body is being bitten to by the devil himself. It says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, give me your eyes, give me your ears, give me your desires, give me your physical body. Do you know that your physical body, those five senses, feed information through to that mind? How does the devil approach? He'll approach through your eyes or your ears, your taste, your smell, your feeling, your touch, your ability, those five senses. He comes in through the five senses of the body. And these five senses, they operate by gaining information through the physical world. They gather that information and then feed it to the natural physical mind. That's how Satan will attack the mind. Look what the devil says to Eve here. And I believe this is the attack of the 2020s. He says, God knows that your eyes will be open. Eve in return to that, it says that she desired the fruit as to make one wise. Listen as I begin here. Eve, as she saw with her eye, the devil drew her to look on the tree. He actually lied to her, deceived her. Deception was involved with this. Oh, that she'd stood with the word of God. Oh, that she had said, Adam said, God said, I'm not going to disobey. I don't need to understand it all. but I'm going to stay with the Word of God. That mind would have been renewed. But you know what she done? She began to look. The devil drew her attention. And as she looked at that tree that was to be desired, she began to realize it could make her wise. What does the word wise mean? It means a quality of one's thinking. It means intelligence, to become expert, instructed, prosperous, skillful, successful, insightful, well-taught, full of understanding and prudent. You know what he began to do? As she looked at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, don't eat of that tree. You can eat of any tree. You can have all my creation. I've created the ability to taste and see and smell. I want everything that's good for you. But don't you touch that tree. That's the only thing I don't want you to touch. When Eve began to look, as she spent time on it, as she began to listen to the lies of the devil, first question marks, doubts, concerns, lies about the character of God, she began to desire that tree. What was that tree? It was intelligence. It was a quality of mind. You know what he was offering her? A whole new way of thinking. I'm offering you a 21st century mind. You'll see where I'm going here. I'm going to show you a brain, a mind, a way of intelligence that no generation has seen. Do you see why I believe this serpent is coming back in the 2020s? Do you know that I believe the serpent is here again and he's coming to this generation? Do you know what? He's got access through media, through the internet, through the rich men, through the UN, the World Economic Forum, through all of these institutions. I assure you, the devil has an influence here. And you know what? Through that entire institution of the rich, the wise, the famous, he is beginning to present to this generation an entire sophisticated way of thinking. You see, God accomplishes his will on the earth through truth. God is always going to get you into his plan through truth. He offers you truth. He tells you the truth. He tells you what's bad about yourself. He'll always show you what's wrong. Why? He is a God of truth. Satan always accomplishes his will in the earth through lies. He uses lies. That's his bait that he tries to catch you on. He makes big promises, but he'll damn your soul. He'll ruin your marriage. He'll destroy your life. He'll wither up your mind. He'll say, I'll give you a mind, a remarkable mind. I'll give you success. I'll give you everything you ever wanted, but I'll damn your soul at the end of it. That is the mark of the devil. Yea, hath God said. An utter contradiction of the word of God. In Revelation 12, we see the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. But when we come through to Genesis 12, we read that out of the serpent's mouth comes a flood of water to carry away that little lady, that woman that flees into the wilderness. Do you know what? After a period of pouring it out and not being able to carry away that woman, the serpent changes into a dragon and begins to persecute her. Do you realize Revelation is telling us just prior to the 3.5 years tribulation, before the time of great tribulation, when the dragon comes to bear on the earth, before that time, the serpent is going to make a plea for the mind one more time, but it's going to fail. It's going to fail. He's after the church, the body of Christ, but it's going to fail. Then he'll turn against Israel with his wrath and indignation. I've got 3 points for you here. I want to exhort you. I want to challenge you. Do you realize your brain is being attacked? Do you realize the serpent is coming for your mind? How do you think he gets your heart? It's through your mind, your thinking, your choices, your desires. I've got 3 points here. First of all, not a nonconformist. And these are 3 commands from Romans chapter 12. 3 simple commands. If you want to overcome and walk through this hour of seduction, it's a serpentine generation. I promise you, I know who's whispering in Bill Gates' ear. I know who's educating Schwab over these over this past generation. I know who's in the background of all of this, and I'm going to prove it here tonight for a moment. The first thing I want you to be as a church, as an individual Christian, is a non-conformist. What a beautiful word. I want you to be a non-conformist. A real Christian is a non-conformist. He doesn't conform to the normal. He's a law-abiding citizen, but he's not a conformist. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. It is a command. It's a simple command. It's a clear command. You're not given an option. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, if he died for you, if you're born again, you are called upon to be a non-conformist. What is a non-conformist? Be not conformed to this world. The word world here is the Greek word aeon. It means an age, a period of time. It has boundaries, a beginning, an end. It is the age that you and I live in. It is the 2020s, the 21st century. It is a generation, a lifetime, or a lifespan at most. Usually, aeon doesn't last an entire lifetime. It is the culture or the society that you live in today. It is speaking of that time period, which usually gets called contemporary. We talk about contemporary worship. I don't like it. Contemporary styles of dress. I don't like wearing girls' trousers, honestly. I don't like wearing pink shirts. I don't like their styles. I am a non-conformist. You might as well go burn your pink shirt, men, because I tell you what, I'll have a word with you if you come in here. If you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl, you sure do need someone to speak to in this hour, in this generation. This generation is so messed up. I'm warning you about this generation. The teachers, the politicians, the lawmakers can't even tell the difference between a wee boy and a girl. They don't even know the basics of life anymore. I assure you, all this has changed. It wasn't like that when I was a boy. It wasn't like that 30 years ago. It wasn't even like that 20 years ago. If you told me 20 years ago where we'd be tonight, I'd say utterly impossible. Utterly impossible. Do you think I'm going to let this generation mold my thinking? No way. No way at all. You know why? They'll destroy your soul and send you to an eternal hell. I've got a definition of this word aeon. It's my own, so be gracious to me. This is it. Be not conformed to the contemporary culture. That is my interpretation of Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Be not conformed to this contemporary culture. I am against this culture. I don't like this culture. I don't want anything to do with this culture. I do live in the world. I do love sinners. I do live my life. I am a law-abiding citizen. I'm as much a law-abiding citizen as any individual in this city. But can I tell you, I don't like contemporary culture. It is confused. It is messed up. But who is behind it? I know who is behind it. What is this aeon? It is the thoughts, the opinions, the attitudes, the ways, the speculations. It's the impulses, the desires of an entire generation. It is a culture being hijacked by the devil. It is a way of thinking that's foreign to the Christian. That's why I'm calling you to be a non-conformist. You know what a conformist says? For me, it's Christ, not this world. I don't want anything to do with this world. This culture is an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul constantly in his generation had to fight against the wisdom of this world, of Greek culture, of Platonic theology. It was trying to get into the church, into the pulpit, into the preaching, into the evangelism, into the education of the family. You know what Paul said? That's the wisdom of this world, this culture. It's a temporary way of thinking. It'll change again. If we had the time, it would change again in 20 years, and then another 20 years. The young generation, they think, nobody's ever thought like this. Yous are a bunch of boring so-and-sos. You copy each other. I'm a nonconformist. They're all conformists. They're like sheep just following one another. But I want to tell you, a real Christian stands against the crowd. They stand alone. They have a different voice, a different way of thinking. What this contemporary, cutting edge wisdom of the hour, it's what's thought to be wisdom, very wise. Isn't that what Satan offered to Eve in the garden? Isn't that why she took of the tree? I want to be wise. Be very careful of the desire of being wanting to be wise. They offer you a new way of thinking, a new contemporary culture. They are offering it in the 2020s, saying this is the way we're to live. This is how you're to think. You mustn't say he and she anymore. You've got to ask them, what are you? I tell you, you do get worried when you can't tell a boy from a girl. The other day I asked Candace, someone walked in front of us and said, no, was that a boy or a girl? She says, I don't know. I don't know. That's the hour that we live in. It really is. You see, the contemporary cutting edge wisdom of this hour makes the wisdom of God look foolish and old fashioned. The wisdom of this world laughs at us. I'm going to tell you, I know how to tie my laces. I always tell Candace about these intelligent folk can't even tie their laces. I do know how to tie my laces. You're not going to educate me on how to run my life. I tell you, you don't know the basics of life. Go speak to someone else. But I assure you, I'm staying with truth, with the reality of the gospel.
Amen.
However, we must remember, and I want you to see this, that the God of this world, this aeon, who created this aeon? Who's in it? Who's the mind behind it? Is it Bill Gates? No. Is it Klaus Schwab? Absolutely not. Is it the president? Is it the EU politicians? No. What does the Bible say? The God of this world. There's only one person called the God of this aeon. He's in control. He's over it. He steers it in different directions. One minute it goes this way. The next minute it goes this. To catch the young generation and to catch you unawares. In the letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, in the past you walked according to the course of this world, the aeon of this world. He says, when you were a sinner, when you were in the flesh, you walked, you lived, you thought, you spoke, you acted, you made your decisions. When you weren't a Christian, you walked according to this world. But you don't do that when you become a Christian. You walk differently. You think differently. You make decisions differently. And listen what else it says. According to the prince of the power of the air. If you're walking in line with this world, then you're also walking in line with the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world. If you're being molded by the 21st century culture, the culture of the 2020s, this new way of thinking of home and sexuality and of lifestyle, if you're being molded by it, do you know who's behind it? The God of this world. The serpent is behind it. He's offering a new mind. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you intelligence. A whole brand new way of thinking that the previous generation didn't know how to think. They're old fashioned. They don't know what they're talking about. We've got a brand new way. 6,000 years, they said it's a man and a woman, but we've got a whole new way. You didn't realize there's about 60 different ways you can call yourself. If you feel like a tree, you could say, I'm a tree. That's my new pronoun. Our world has gone crazy. But you know what? They're after your children. It's in the schools. It's in the politics. It's in the leaders of this nation of Ireland. They have taken this on. You know who's behind it? The God of this world. The world, this world, aeon, is the dwelling place, the domain of Satan, the serpent. The serpent is in there. He is sovereign in it. He is God over it. And Satan even offered the kingdoms of this world to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you worship me, I'll give you all the great kingdoms of the earth. All I want is your worship. Just acknowledge me. Listen to me. Bow your knee. Turn a blind eye to how confused this culture is. And I'll give you everything that you ever wanted. You see, this culture molds. There's a power in it. There's a person in it. And they're seeking to mold you. Be not conformed to this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that do not believe. He's the God of this world, of this culture, of this aeon. He is in this world. It says in John 12, 31, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14, 30, the prince of this world. John 16, 11, the prince of this world. 1 John 5, 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Or let me give you the Greek there. The whole world, this generation, lies back, reclines, outstretched like on a sofa, in the wicked one, not just in wickedness, but in the person of wickedness, the devil. That's what this world is. They're reclining on a sofa. They are sprawled out in the hands of the wicked one of this generation. Be not conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed to the world? Listen to what the Greek word conform means. It means to be pressed into the form, the fashion, or the appearance of this contemporary culture, of this new generation, this new way of thinking. You're being forced into it. In other words, it's a mold, it's an image. It's got form, it's got ways of speaking and acting and thinking and making decisions, what you can do and what you cannot do. And you're being molded into the pattern. It is a fixed cultural pattern. And there's a power pushing on you. Isn't it right? In our whole society, there is a power and the devil is behind it, seeking to fashion you, to mold you, to make you like that. There is a force pushing you. If you don't have something greater, you better make sure you're a nonconformist. You better know what it means. Be not conformed. To be a nonconformist, when all of them bowed to the statue, only three Jewish boys kept standing. Do you know they're making this big statue some 100 feet high in Ireland, and it's going to go out across nations of the world. An image that's going to have the appearance of a man. A man's face, a real man's face is going to be on it. They're making it in Ireland. It's going to go out into cities all over our world. It's going to move. It's going to speak. It's going to act 100 feet high, just like Nebuchadnezzar's image. We are living in a remarkable hour. You see, be not conformed to this present evil world. It actually, the Greek word for conform means a pressure coming from the outside, not the inside. Not inside you. It's a pressure in culture, in society, in education, in news media, and it's pressing upon you. It's pushing you into its mold, fashioning you like unto it. It wants you to fall into line. It wants you to speak like it speaks. It wants you to apologize for being white. Can you believe it? In this hour, I'm meant to apologize for what someone done 50 generations ago. It is crazy. It is dangerous. It is wicked. And I know who is actually in it. This world is saying, we want you to get in step with us. There's a way we walk in the 2020s. There's a way we think in the 2020s. There's a way we make decisions. We want to be in unity. You're the only one that's not in unity. You have no love. You don't care about other people. You don't care about dwelling together in peace. I want to tell you, nonconformists are troublemakers. I am a troublemaker. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a good Christian. I love those who hate me. But I want to tell you, I'm a nonconformist. I cannot fall into step with this world. It says in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, I am obedient. I want to tell you here tonight, hear me. I'm obedient. I am obedient. not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. I am obedient. That's why I cannot conform to my old lifestyle when I lived in the ignorance of my lusts. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle. Don't fashion yourself. Don't be pushed into the mold of this generation. Don't do it. Stand your ground. Be brave. Be courageous. Speak out. Don't change for this world. Make sure that you're a nonconformist standing on this word. Just tell them a wee bit of practical advice. Just say, what you think, 6,000 years, all of humanity's believed a certain way, and you think I'm going to change it for you because of a bit of legislation. No way, no way. But you know what? More than that, this Bible tells me, God created man in his image for his glory, for his praise. Be not conformed is a command. It literally means stop it. Don't do it. If you're a Christian, it's not even an option. Amen. Don't allow it, not even once. It is a call to resistance at every moment in every area of life. Nonconformity is a lifetime process. It's a work in me. I'm not there. I'm not the completed object as yet. But you know what? As Christ works in my heart, I'm a nonconformist. I'm not becoming less conformist. I'm becoming more radically less conformist with this world system. It's not that I'm losing my edge. I want to tighten my belt. I want to become stronger. I want to become more militant against the things of this world. Listen, in this word conformed, it's the Greek word sous sheketismeo. And you can't say it better than me, okay? So don't laugh at me. Within the Greek word for conformed, meaning to be molded into a pattern. Listen, the Greek word schema is the major part of that. Schema. What does the Greek word schema mean? It means scheme together. A systematic plan. An intellectual arrangement to attain some particular object. Or putting a particular idea into effect to impose it upon everyone from without. It is a pattern of thought creating a behavior. It is a structured framework which it's demanded that everybody falls in line with. It is a plan, a scheme, a strategy, an entire way to hijack an entire generation. You're all going to think like this. You're all going to comply. You're all going to act like this. You're all going to fall behind it and agree with it. You see, the Bible says 2,000 years ago, be not conformed to this contemporary culture. It is so wicked. It's all through media, all through internet. It's on Facebook, in Google, on YouTube. It's in the talk shows. The politicians are speaking about it. It's in the legislation. Since it's coming thick and fast, I've never seen the like of it in my generation. Our world's changed in 1 year. You think it's going to go back to normal? It's not. It's not. Either you're going to conform to all of this, or you're going to become a radical nonconformist. You're not going to have a decision. You're going to do one or the other. Education in the colleges, universities, in your local school is going to fall in line with this. All of our major politicians, your work, your bosses, all of these are falling in step. The church can never do that. As soon as the church conforms, it's finished. It's finished. Just like Eve, looking at that tree and saying, I want the wisdom of this world, the intelligence, the success, the acceptance. She was finished. She's finished. They're put out of the Garden of Eden. Be not conformed. That's the first thing. I'm calling you to be a non-conformist Christian. There is no other Christian. Second of all, a transformed Christian. Not only a non-conformist Christian, a transformed Christian. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, but you want to know how to avoid being conformed to this world. It's very powerful, isn't it? And Satan is in it. The serpent is in it. Offering it to our children. Saying, this is the way you live your life in this generation. So how do you avoid that? This second point shows us it is a transformed life. That is the key. You're either going to be conformed or transformed. If you're transformed, you can never fall into their pattern. This is how you walk apart. It's going to be one or the other. It says in verse 2, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't read any options here. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. The command to be transformed is a command. The Greek word is metamorpho, where we get our word metamorphosis. It actually means a radical change in outward appearance and an inward character. Your character inside is going to change. Saints, don't stay where you are. Don't settle on your lees. Don't rest back. The power of this world will carry you away. You can't just tread water or you'll drown. This world is coming after you militantly. It's time for us to become a militant church. LCC needs to stand and to stand strong. Stand together, not with each other, but with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. It means a radical change, fundamentally changing who you are in every area. If you don't go forward, you will go back to conforming with this world. It means to develop and change into something completely different. Saints, I'm not the finished product. I'm a work in progress. God is dealing with me, sanctifying my mind, working on my speech, dealing with my attitudes, giving me courage to walk with Him. It's like the caterpillar. The word metamorphosis is used for a caterpillar. It goes in and comes out something radically different. A beautiful butterfly. A thing is creeping along. Oh, we know what it can be. You say, I know what you can be in this church. I don't care where you failed, where you're struggling, where you can't get past. You say, oh, Brother Keith, you don't realize what I'm wrestling with. You don't realize how many times I've tried. I want to tell you, little caterpillar, I do have a dream. I have a dream of beautiful butterflies breaking out of the chrysalis. You see, I know something about the nature of that ground-crawling creature. It doesn't look like much. It's not very impressive. Little boys play games with caterpillars. The person can't get away from little boys like Thomas and Joshua. If they ever get their hands on that butterfly, its days are numbered, I want to assure you. But you know what? I know something about that caterpillar. I know what it can be. If this process of transformation, and it doesn't happen overnight, or immediately, it's a process. It takes time to get there. It actually means getting locked in. The word morpho that it goes through means the forming of habits. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It's not a miracle. You can't have hands laid on you. It's actually entering into this process of transformation that changes you into a creature of the air that can never be bound by this world. It's the forming of new habits. It is actually to come forth with new habits and new ideologies. See, this generation, they're thinking in a way that the previous generation didn't think. You know what happened? They got changed. They were conformed. The serpent came to the rich, the powerful, the intellectual, got into the institutions, and he's molding an entire generation to look a certain way. You know what? He's hijacking the brain of this generation. But I want to show you, I know a secret. I'm not in defeat. I'll tell you, there's going to be an entire generation that come out of all of this. They're going to live in this. They're going to walk through this. They're going to be confronted by it. But you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to be metamorphosed in this. They're not going to get caught out to be changed. They're going to be changed right in the midst of it. The darker this world gets, the lighter they're going to get. Church, I'm telling you, revival is coming to the body of Christ. They there is a million souls going to come in to the kingdom of God in this hour. I get emails every single week from newborn Christians. I've been saved a year. I've been saved 6 months. I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. That lady from Dublin, that beautiful letter she wrote me the other day. I want Christ. I need to get into a real church where I'm going to hear what you're preaching there. Since this is a transformed life, you're not only to be a nonconformist, but you're to be transformed. There is a process of sanctification. Don't stay where you are. Don't say, I'm in the door, I got saved, my name's on the roll, I'll get there in the end, and sure, just float along. That's a very dangerous position. You know why? Every time you lift your phone, every time you talk to your neighbor, every time you sit with your family members, that world is knocking at your door. You better get into your Bible. You better put a sermon on. You better begin to listen worship music to clear that mind of yours. You better get alone with God. You better chuck them all out the door and say, don't come back until next Tuesday, and get on your knees and begin to pray. You see, it's a process. It's a process of growth in the grace of God. It's a constant work that we go through, being transformed. This is what happened to Christ, the same word used for him when he was transfigured on the mount. And Peter saw him, and John and James, and they saw him in a glorified state. That is being metamorphosed. It's the same word, transfigured, to be changed. Oh, it's the same Christ. It's the same person, but what's happened to you? You ever met a Christian over the years? You see them, they're weak, they're struggling. Then you see them, and they're on fire for God. I've seen this hundreds of times, thousands, struggling saints who somewhere touch God. I said, what happened to you? I was in a meeting and I met the Lord. I heard a message. I was alone praying late at night and God came down. Man, they've been transfigured. You can see it. You know it. You hear it in the way they talk. They have been changed. You know what? That mind has been changed. There's something happened. It says in Romans 8:29, predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Aren't you glad? I'm not predestinated to be conformed to this world. No way. That's not my destiny in Christ. That's not God's plan for me. It's not inevitable. Well, who can stand against this generation? I can. I can. You can. This church is. I'm going to make sure this church does. We are predestined. There was a plan made before creation, before the fall, before there was a Lucifer. There was a plan made on how to conform you to Jesus. Every time you feel the pressure, you need to say, I'm being conformed to Christ. There is a plan to change me, to make me like Jesus, to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to think like him. You see, if you think like Christ, you'll speak like Christ. You'll walk like Christ. You'll make decisions like Christ. You'll live like Christ. You will respond like Christ. But it's a lifetime process. Philippians 3:10 says, being made conformable, molded again unto his death. I'm dying to the things of this world. I'm dying to ambitions. I'm dying to my eye looking and saying, I want intelligence. I want success. I want popularity. I want the end of the battle. I want acceptance. No, you're going to die to that. Christ-likeness, to become like Christ through the cross, means his walk, talk, mind, attitude, character, example of life, lifestyle, conversation, to speak like him, act like him, walk like him. It says in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen this carefully. This is the key. By whom? Christ crucified. By whom? The world is crucified unto me. You say, how can I get victory over this world? The culture, the 20th century, civilization, this new way of intelligence in the universities. How do I get the victory? I died to it. I died a long time to it. This world is crucified unto me. Amen. 2,000 years ago it happened. I'm not trying to make it happen. 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on that cross, a part of our salvation, a part of our new birth, this world with its culture and pressures and mold was nailed to that cross. There was a victory won upon the cross. That world was crucified to me and I unto the world. I was crucified with Christ. I was on the cross with Christ. I believe it, saints. I'm not trying to make this happen. I look back, it already happened. I was born like this, Brother Jer. I was born an unconformist. I was born in this process of transformation. I just got here and discovered it. I said, well, I guess this is what it means to be a Christian. I cannot conform to this world. I cannot be like them. I'm not trying to be different. I just am different. I was born crucified. I was born again, changed by the grace of God. It says this world is crucified unto me. The word world there is a different word than aeon. It's the word cosmos. Listen to what this means. There are more than 30 very different uses for the word cosmos. But here is one of them. It means a well-organized society. It's crucified unto me. This is what the apostle said is crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto a well-organized society. Outward order in our culture. The way things are organized all around us. How we think in society. To act as a normal principle of life. Our customs in Limerick City, our habits in Ireland, our traditions as Irish men and women. It's an organized, very popular way to think, speak, and act amongst the people of this Iron generation. But everyone does it. So what? I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. This is a church. Don't you think you should tone your message down? Don't you think you should dress a bit more like the world? Not really. Not really. It never even entered my mind. Why would I? Look at what they dress like. Little boys dressing, putting on girls' trousers. They're so tight. Man, my generation would have laughed at them. I mean the worldly ones would have laughed. Now we go, you can't say anything. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to say what you think. You're not allowed to tell the truth. You're not allowed to tell a little boy, say, stop being stupid. You're a boy. You're born a boy. You need to deal with your sin. You're a depraved sinner. You need born again. Oh, you cannot say that. Yes, you can. We are the church with an answer for this generation. I've got an answer for the homosexual. I've got an answer for the suicidal. I've got an answer for the prostitute and the alcoholic. And all of them, I do have an answer for them. What is this world that's crucified unto me? It's the wisdom, knowledge, experience and plans of this world that are outside the knowledge of God, outside God's word and outside eternal life. You see, this is the goal. This is the final goal. It's a transformed life. I'm changed. I'm changed. I'm radically changed. But you know what? It's the reward, the blessing, the privilege, the honor. I'm a different person. I will be like Jesus Christ. I'm going to live like him. I'm going to speak like him. I'm going to make decisions just like him. Saints, that's my destiny in Christ. You say, I've made some mistakes along the way. So have I. So have I. I wish I hadn't have, but I did. But you know what? I know what my destiny in Christ is. My destiny isn't to have a posh car, a big house, to be rich, to not suffer. That's the prosperity gospel. My destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be a nonconformist, a radically different person. That is the future that awaits me. How am I going to get there? My third and final point. My third point, a renewed mind. You see, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. How do I get there? How do I get there? You see, Paul, if you speak to him, I've used this 10,000 times. I don't want to wear it out. But he's a mechanic in mind and heart. He's not someone who does mechanics. Even though he's left that profession, he's a mechanic. It's in him. He breathes, I'm sure, everyone can see it with him. It's an absolute part of him. That's what he actually is. But you know what? I watched him. He can't leave something till he finds out what the problem is. Now, how do I get from here to here? how do I do this? He won't leave a thing on a car. It'll probably torment him. I'm sure Victoria's seen him probably lying awake. He's probably thinking, how do I get that fixed? That's the mind of a mechanic. I am going to crack it. It'll drive him nuts if he doesn't. You know what, in the church we go, we hear commands, I'm meant to be like Jesus, how do I do it? It seems an impossibility, a pipe dream, a theology, a doctrine we preach, an ideology, but not practical. It is practical.
Yes.
And I'm finishing on this. This is our entire series about a renewed mind, about a way of thinking. You want to be like Jesus, start with your mind. You want to change a way of speaking, an attitude of the heart, a motivation in your heart, a way of reacting to others around you. I'll give you the secret. You want to become like Jesus. You don't want to be like this world or like backslidden Christians or like the worldly church down the road. You want to be like Jesus. You want to be conformed to this book. I'll tell you how. A renewed mind. What does it say here in Romans 12 and 2? Be ye transformed. How? How, Paul, how? By the renewing of your mind. The word renewing there means renovation. It's talking about a building. The building's broken down. Oh, thank God I've got a building tonight. Thank God I've got a roof over my head. Pity about the leaks in the roof. Pity about the bricks out of the wall. Pity about the wind that's blowing through my living room. But at least I have a house. Why would you be satisfied with that? Why would you go to sleep tonight with a leaking roof, with rain falling on your bed? Just glad that you've got a house to live in. That's how a lot of Christians live. My mind's a mess. My life's a mess. But I do love Jesus. I do know that he's real. But the house is in disrepair. Why don't you fix your house? Why not begin to renovate it? I'm challenging you in these messages. Time to renovate your house. What is your house? It's your mind. It's an entire way of thinking. Oh, but I've tried that. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Go back to it. Renew your mind. If you renew your mind, you're going to live in a brand new house. It's to reverse things and to make it new again. In other words, this pattern of thinking bad habits, it's changing the habits of your thinking, your understanding, how you reason, what you imagine, meditation, changing all these things. All of you meditate every week. All of you in this room. Don't tell me, I can't meditate in the scripture, Brother Keith. I would love to, I don't have time. You do have time. You worry about things. You get angry at people. You're awake at 2 o'clock. Who's ever been awake at 2 o'clock with anger burning? Or worrying about something going, how am I going to manage tomorrow? Well, my granddad used to have simple theology. Worry and you die. Don't worry and you die, so why worry? He was a man of prayer who believed God. Get out, get on your knees and begin to pray. I want to tell you, it is possible to have a new spirit, a new heart. Listen, you can have a new spirit, new heart without having a new mind. That's a part of sanctification. That's where we're going to go to work. You go, I wish I was holy. I wish I was sanctified. I wish I had victory in that part. You can have. But you've got to change your thinking. You've got to begin to meditate on the Word of God. It is vital that after salvation, that a new Christian begins to renew their mind. They've got old patterns of thought. Do you know, I heard of a preacher, say 40, 50 years. He had a dream at night. Hadn't touched a cigarette 50 years. That night he had a dream and he was smoking in it. He woke up the next morning desperate for a ciggy. He was shocked. He said, how could I? See that mind? I tell you, that mind needs renewed. That mind can suddenly take you back somewhere that you never wanted to go. I am exhorting you here tonight. Be not conformed to this world. Do you understand what I'm saying about this generation? What is going on around us? This is the new world order that's being introduced. Never has it been so undiluted. This is the world state. This is a world revolution. This is the conforming of every single nation, every government, every teaching institution, every town, every city. For the first time in world history, we've got the unveiling of the new world order plan. This is it, saints. This is it. They prophesied about it. They wrote novels about it. They wrote books about it. We discovered their history. Now they've come out publicly and said, this is what we're doing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to join your brain to a machine. We're going to change your brain. I tell you, there's a lot I can tell you about what's going on. I want to tell you, they want to join your body. You will not be able to go to a doctor without having your physical body connected to that internet. You won't be able to get a pacemaker. You won't be able to be a medication. They're going to tie everything into that internet. They're coming for you. This is called transhumanism, and it's a serpent. I'm offering you wisdom, intelligence, success, a better body, an upgraded body. We're going to download information into your brain. Do you realize that all the politicians, the rich, Google, Facebook, all of them are on the same agenda? How could that be possible? How can it, from China to America, that they've signed into the same contracts, the same agreements, the same plans, they're all looking to join humanity with that computer? They all are seeking to put a brain chip in every person on the world. They're so kind and loving. They said, we, us rich ones, don't want to outrun you. So you know what we're going to do? We want to make it available to all of you, that we do it all at the same time, all together, that we'll all be interconnected as one. And when we interconnect, we're going to have a new brain, a new mind, a new intelligence. Since the stage is being set, that's why I called it the hijacking of the 21st century mind. But do you know one thing they haven't taken into account? The real body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never met a creature like me and you. They don't know that even though we're small, weak, scattered, nobodies, that this is going to be our greatest hour. Let them bring ultimate power to bear. And you're going to see Christians stand up all over this world saying, I'm a nonconformist. I'm being transformed. I'm renewed by the thinking of my mind. And for me to live is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand with me here tonight. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you, our God. Thank you, O God. Lord God, what an hour that we are living in. Lord God, they're unveiling their plan of conformity. They have shown us what their scheme is. They're showing us where they're going in the 2020s. But, oh God, I'm praying for the plan of God. I'm praying for a mighty revival. I'm praying for the power of God to come down in this church. I'm praying for a transformed people. I'm looking that you transform us, that you metamorphose, that you work out your predestinated plan, that we'll become more and more like Jesus. My God, I pray that this is going to backfire on the devil, backfire on world governments, that there's going to arise a real church in the nations on fire for God, evangelizing a non-conformist church that will not bend, it will not bow, and it will not burn. My God, give us again Daniels that are going to pray and seek your face. Give us men like the Apostle Paul who despised the wisdom of this world and preached the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Give us victories in this church. The devil would say it's all in vain. But Lord God, your book, your Bible says it. Will you renew our minds with the written scriptures even here tonight in the name of Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We praise you, oh God. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. Have your way tonight. Oh, have your way tonight, oh God. Have your way in our lives. Oh God, pour out your spirit. We need it, oh God. Oh God, how are we going to stand in this hour without revival, without an outpouring of the spirit? My God, pour out your spirit on each one of us. My God, baptize in the Holy Ghost and fire. My God, encourage us, oh God. Lead us into the book of God. Renew our minds, that we might think like Christ thinks. Oh God, sanctify us, oh God. Lord God, renew us in this place again. In the name of Jesus, blessed be your name. Oh, we worship you. We love you, oh God. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, oh God. Oh, thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.